Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. We haven't gotten very far in the story. And you know, as I study more and more, I think, okay, well, that's probably like this, or probably like that, or what about this, and what about that? There's so many things. So many things. How did God do it? And what we have to do is we have to look at what he actually said and see how it lines up with the evidence of what we know here. And we've already done that through the first day, which is Genesis chapter 1 through, or verses 1 through 5, and where he said that he created the heavens and the earth. And we know he hasn't named, he's going to call the firmament heaven. He's going to call the dry land that comes out, he's going to call that earth. But in the beginning, this Shemayim and this Haaretz, this earth is just talking about matter and talking about space, okay? That's basically what it is. And then he renames that earth by talking about the waters. And that's kind of a descriptive term because, again, he's going to call something else water. He's going to name it. Right now, it's not really the name of it. It's a descriptive term of what it is, like a fluid. And he says it's without form and void. It is unordered. It's unarranged. Even atoms are arranged, if you look at an atom. Hey, if you look at an atom, there's energy in that atom, right? You've got electrons, protons, you got the neutron, it has a gravity, there's energy in that. But wait a minute, God has not created light yet, and all of that electromagnetic sphere yet, so that could not be there. There's not atoms floating around at that time. Well, then it would be what atoms are made up of, electrons, protons, neutrons. Well, yeah, but there's things that are made up of those. And humans, the best of their knowledge, we know there are what call are quarks and leptons and bosons and all of that stuff that are make up all of these particles in particle physics. And whatever the basic matter, it's unordered, it's unarranged yet, it's empty. God had not put anything together yet. So you have the very basic matters of particles. And verse 2, we already looked at, is a description of that state. And there's no break between the two. He says the heavens and the earth, and then he says, and the earth. He's just continuing on describing what the condition of that matter was. And we saw how it was without form and void. It was unordered and it was empty. Nothing had been put there yet. It was just in its basic form. He says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. The deep. The deep there is the idea of that unordered, unarranged multitude of things. And darkness is the idea of this unenergized condition. And we looked at all of that. Verse 2 says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And that word is to move back and forth. And it's intensive. So intensively vibrated, if you will. The Spirit of God did upon the face of the waters. These particles. Okay. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So when God introduced light, it wasn't just, I mean, we know that light is so much more than that, what we can see. He created the whole sphere, the energy that was involved in all of that. And no doubt the energy was imparted to those particles. We saw that, he said in verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And that word see, it does mean to see. I see you. How you doing? Hey, I can see you look happy. But it also means, that word means to provide. And we still use that even in the English sense. And I mentioned that already. You know, hey, see to that. And that just means he was seeing to their provisions. And the idea is to provide something. It's even translated, talking about Abraham and Isaac. When Isaac asked Abraham, well, I see all the stuff here, but where's the lamb? And he says, God will provide a lamb. Literally, God will see a lamb. Okay? So, and we've already looked at that. I mean, did God look at the light and just say, wow, that's good? He didn't. He also uses a key clause there. We've talked about that before. Subordinating causal conjunction. If we use the word saw, it says, and God saw the light because good, because understood it existed, good. Which doesn't really make as much sense in English unless we were to say God provided the light because good, because it existed good. And that makes sense because that's why God made it. Because God only does that which is good and right. And this is a foundational thing. God makes everything right. God makes everything perfect. It was very good. It didn't need to be developed. It was perfect from the beginning. And that is a very good, important, foundational truth that's going to be important when we talk about, for instance, the textual issue or so many other things. It was good from the beginning. And so verse 5 says, God called the light day and the darkness he called night. That's the first time we see him labeling. He's giving a name. So he's calling light day. He's calling the night evening, which is interesting. By the way, so he, I didn't mention, did I? He divided the light from the darkness. How do you do that? What do you mean? Apparently, it was he had daytime and he had nighttime before sun and moon and stars. He was able to do that because he's had evening and morning, he said, was the first day, day one, literally. And then in verse 6, we looked at this last time, and God said, let there be a firmament. Literally, it's the idea of an expanse in the midst of the waters. So all you have there is waters. Okay, don't think H2O, though. And I think that's pretty clear because what did he have before? This would be that matter that's kind of like a fluid in that sense. And let it divide the waters from the waters. So this expanse is dividing waters from waters. Okay, got it. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So it happened, just like he said. And God called the firmament, what did he call it? Heaven, Shemayim. So he's calling the firmament heaven. Wait, didn't he already create heaven? Well, yeah, that's a descriptive term, but this is the title of this place. He's calling this place heaven. Okay. He says, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, so the third day here, and we looked at this last week, and God said, let the waters under the heaven, yeah, that expanse, right? That's what he called the heaven. So you have this expanse, you got waters up here, and you got waters down here, he says, Hamayim, and the waters that are under the expanse, they're to gather together. Okay, so they're to gather together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so, okay? And so, again, trying to understand these things, I believe that this water had in it these particles for the land, and as it was gathered together, the land appeared, and the waters there were all gathered together. And the dry land, or the dry stuff, appeared. And then God, it says in verse 10, God called the dry land earth. So he called the dry land earth. So there's definitely, you can see, there's definitely a primordial sense to the words that he used before. Okay. Primordial means just like an origin, just an ancient, a way of using it in the beginning. The first time you're using these words, you might use them a little differently than what we're going to call them the rest of the time. The reason is because how do you call something when it's not there yet? How do you talk about space without using, how do I talk about the English language, for instance, without using the English language? I don't know any other language to talk in like this, so I can't. So I'll have to use the English language to talk about the English language. So the dry lands appears. So, and he calls it earth. And the gathering together of the waters, he called seas. So now he's calling these gathering together of waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Literally, God provided because it existed good. Okay. And he says this, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So he provided it because it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So we have 3 days, no sun, moon, and stars, but God separated the light from the darkness. He had a light time, daytime, and he had a night time, even without the sun, moon, and stars, because he separated the light. Interesting. Now, last time I represented the Shemayim, I represented the firmament that he called heaven by our atmosphere, which I don't agree that that's not what the heaven is. It's part of the heaven, but it's not all of the heaven. And I think that's going to be clear here in a moment. Verse 14 is where we pick up today, day 4. And he says this, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so." So literally, then God said, light. Now, he uses the same word for light here, but he puts it in a different form. Often it has to do with like a place or something like that. If I said a light source, we'd understand what I mean. Light sources must exist, or light place, light places, a place where light comes from. It must exist. Where must it exist? Where is it existing? In the firmament, in the expanse of the heavens. Okay. And I've given it some hard thought because you think, okay, well, what does that mean, right? What does that mean? Because if we look at it from a human perspective, where are those things? Well, they're just up there in the sky. And we just think anything that we can see up here is the heaven. But I believe the expanse seems to include everything that's above the earth. Okay, you have the earth here. Everything that goes up, way up to the waters, the mayim that we talked about. That would include outer space as well. By the way, what about the waters? There's waters above the expanse. Where's the expanse? Well, if the expanse, some people have theorized that the expanse was water above our atmosphere. And maybe it was solid, like ice or something, and it would create like a greenhouse effect. And they talk about all these things, and it sounds good. And then they say, well, at the flood, see, those waters came down. A problem, there's more than one perhaps, but one of them is, in Psalms, which is written after the flood, by the way, he says, talks about, praise him, ye heaven of heavens, praise him, ye waters that be above the heavens. Waters that are existing above the heavens. Apparently, at the time when the Psalms were written, there were still waters above the heavens. Interesting. It's interesting to me. Answers in Genesis, yeah, they say, well, they conclude that yes, there must be edges to the universe, and there must be water out there around the edges of the universe, which contradicts everything that other scientists believe, but that's their conclusion. So I believe that the mayim is there in the outer space. It's on the other side of the outer space. Outer space, all the way down to Earth, which includes our atmosphere, is the firmament. It's not just space, but our atmosphere includes it, because otherwise birds fly in the firmament of heaven. Well, they don't fly in space, but the sun is in the firmament of the heaven. Well, that's not in the sky, in our atmosphere. It must include all of those things. Now, what was the purpose of these light sources, these light places? Well, the purpose is to cause, literally to cause separation of between the day and between the night. Interesting, God didn't need light sources to separate between the day and the night, but he chose to give them. He gave us those things to regulate time. All of these things have to do with, almost all of these things have to do with time. Really, they all do. Then they must exist. He says for signs and for seasons, a sign. The idea of a sign is something to indicate, like an indicator. It indicates something. The sun indicates stuff. The moon does, and also the stars, they indicate, they're signs. What do they indicate? So many things. Indicators, and for seasons, that's appointed times. And we can judge from the sun, from the moon, and the stars. We can judge the time of the year. In fact, That's how we know where we're at. Still today, that's how we judge. Everything's judged off of. I know we use the speed of light, and there's a big, you know, how do you measure the speed of light? Except by measuring it by the speed of light, and then you have a rubber ruler, and now people say, well, everything's relative. But that's another story. But the Lord gave us the sun and the moon and the stars so that to regulate time, and they tell us the signs and for seasons, indicators, appointed times, and we base time, on the sun, the moon, and the stars. Hey, what month is it? Yeah, we have numbers now that we use all the time. But still in Israel and many places, they use a lunar calendar still, which is interesting. There's some interesting things with the lunar calendar because they have to fix things. Everyone has to fix things with their calendar. It seems that something is askew in the universe with our days and our years. It's not working right. And there may be some reasons, which is interesting. But the Lord gave us the sun and the moon and the stars for the season so we can know where we're at in time. And for days and nights and all of those things, months. Then they must exist, the result, two light places as these light sources. Where? He says, where? In the firmament of the heavens, in the expanse of the heavens. So that's where they must exist. He's going to say that three times. And what's the purpose? He says, to cause lighting of upon the earth. So another, he gives us several purposes. One of it is to cause separation between the day and the night. Another purpose was to give light upon the earth, not just in the daytime, but in the nighttime. God wanted us to have a light at night, a night light. So the kids are right. We need a night light. The result, though, then it existed thus. So it happened. By the way, it always happens as God says. Always happens as God says it does. Everything. Now, so this is what God said. That's all of those things is what God said. Then we have the second part. We have then God made. In verse 17, it's just the regular word for doing or making something. And God made or set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. That's not the right word. There it is, 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. We'll talk about the word set in just a minute. But he made them, two great lights. Now, is that all the lights he made? No, but he made these two great lights. All right, so he made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. So they're greater and lesser. What makes them greater? What makes them lesser? Is he talking about size? Well, we would say, well, yeah, of course, because the sun is huge compared to the moon. But then you think, well, the stars, though, supposedly are so much bigger than those. Wouldn't they be even greater lights? And of course, he's not talking about size of these beings, these sources. But he's talking about the strength of their light, of course. The sun is the greater light, and the moon is the lesser light, and stars are even lesser than that. But the two great ones would be the sun and the moon. And what was the purpose here? He made them, and he says, the greater light to rule the day. The word for rule there is the same word that we use for Proverbs. A proverb is a ruling saying. This is to rule. It's ruling. And he says, so he's ruling the daytime. He's in charge of the daytime. And the small light, the purpose is to ruling of the night. So ruling nighttime. It's in charge of the nighttime and the sun of the daytime. And let's see. You know, when you think about all of this, there are so many passages. As I was looking at this, and I think, wow, Jeremiah talks about this. Job talks about this. Isaiah talks about this. You just keep going in many places. The Psalms talk about this. When I consider the heavens, in Psalm 8, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? So this is really critical, really foundational, and it's significant because sometimes you think, why did God make what we call outer space so big? You know, what's the point of all of it being so big? And I was talking with my wife about it a little bit, and she was saying, well, I mean, the Lord compares himself with these things. It shows how much greater God is. You know, we're going to read in Job. He asked Job a lot of questions. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when this happened? Where were you? You know, have you ever done this? Hey, can you measure out the heavens with a span? Can you do that? And the insinuation is, you're nothing, Job, and I am everything. I am huge. He did all this. I'm the creator. You're not the creator. And anyhow, Proverbs chapter 8, we looked at that last week, I think it was. We need to take time to consider these things. We need to. Why? It's our God. And again, like we talked about in Sunday school, nobody should be after you to get you to look and serve the Lord and want to know the Lord and love the Lord and follow the Lord. But let me encourage you, hey, take some time to think on our great God and the things that he created for us, because it speaks of him. It tells us much about him. So he says, God made what? The two of the great lights places, the great lights. And what else did he make? The end of that verse, verse 16, he made the stars also. Just says, and the stars, and the stars. So he made all this, you know, the great light, the lesser light, and the stars. And then again, you think, what does that mean? What does that mean, he made the stars? Have you ever taken any time to look up maybe the Hubble telescope and look at the deep space photos? You know, they spend so much time just focusing on this one place, and they take pictures of it, and they say, well, this must be so, so far away, and look at all the galaxies out there that are so tiny. And you think, well, supposedly, see, I wonder how much they really know, but those little galaxies, we're supposedly living in one of those way over here. And you know how far it is just to the nearest star? It is a long way. And then we've got, what, billions of stars in this galaxy? Really, I mean, if you are having a hard time and you're feeling like things are going crazy, if you want to think about the power of the Lord, I really encourage you, just take a look at that a little bit, and then you think, if God is that big, then I guess I don't have to worry about anything. I guess it'll be okay. It'll be all right. Well, so God made that. Then God gave them. That's where this word set is. This is the regular word for to give something. It comes from my name, Nathan, Nathan. But God gave them. He set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. He gave them. And he says again, in the firmament of the heaven, in the expanse of the heavens. That's the third time. And the purpose? To cause lighting of upon the earth, and to ruling of in the day and in the night, and to cause separation between the light and between the darkness. So you think, well, he's just being redundant. Well, in the first part, this is what he said, and then the second part here is what he did. He made, and then he gave. Interesting. And then the last part of this day, he says, then God provided, because it existed good. Why don't we go over there to Job for a little bit? Let's read some of the questions the Lord had for Job. You know, the more I study the scriptures, I think, oh yeah, I really want to study that book. I want to go through Isaiah. I'd really like to go through Hebrews. Song of Solomon. Ooh, I'd really like to go through Job. And you think, oh, I'm not going to live long enough to be able to go through all these books. At least not down here. Go to the book of Job, and we're going to look at chapter 38. And, well, we'll just start up here at the top where it says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," wow. Look at verse 4. He says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it?" I believe kind of like a plumber's line. You know, we want to get a plumb bob and make sure things are right. You know, who did all that? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. That's interesting. The Lord talks about that a lot, how the Lord keeps the waters where they are. They don't go beyond his bounds. It's interesting how everybody's worried about that. Anyhow. Verse 12, he says, Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? And, you know, he keeps going on. Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Now, I won't continue there, but when God did all of these things, and we need to say, God didn't make up stuff that didn't happen so that we dumb people could understand what didn't happen. Okay. There's a lot of things he didn't say happened, but everything he said was accurate and true, right? Everything said here was accurate to what he did. And, you know, people will say, well, humans didn't understand that the world was like it was. But God knew it. God knew it. Even if humans didn't understand it, God knew it, and he would say it accurate. So as he does all these things, there's so much going on that we're able to look back at, and we can see some of it now. By no man's man knows it all. They think they do. But we look back at it, and we can say, oh, wow, he must have done all of this, too. I mean, when he said this, and he made that, I mean, okay, what about gravity? When did he make gravity? Hey, what was the temperature of all this stuff? He says it's waters. Well, some things are water at a certain temperature, and some things aren't. You know, what's the temperature? You know, that makes a difference, doesn't it? You know, well, maybe it was all really hot. That's why it's called the magium, the waters. Maybe it's, there's so many things you could think about that's going to get you all messed up. And there's so much that the Lord did, and as he's talking to Job, he's kind of showing, we people, we don't know much. We don't know much of anything. And the smartest men today, I heard one of these guys, particle theorist. We looked at the particles, we know the smallest particles, and we didn't see God there. God doesn't exist. We're so smart. Yeah. Anyhow. And they hate it when you call it the God particle. They call the Higgs boson the God particle. People do, but they just don't. We don't like to call it that. They have to explain. We don't call it that. Somebody coined it that, but it's not that. It's this. Yeah, they don't like that. Anyhow, but okay. So all that to say is, all of these things are accurate, and they don't disagree with science because God's the one who created it. He knows exactly how it works, and he doesn't lie. Again, this is foundational, and so we must cause firmness to Genesis chapter 1, otherwise we're going to be messed up in the rest of it, messed up in anything. We're going to try and explain God, and if somebody says something else and it disagrees with the foundation, we're going to have problems because you're going to base your thinkings off of a wrong view. So many people, they use different versions of the Bible, or they do all sorts of things. And interestingly enough, they have evolutionary mindset, whether that's theistic evolution or not, whether that's day-age theory or not, whether that's so many messed up things, and they come to conclusions, and it's usually not just one thing, but so often, they don't believe what God actually said. They don't believe the flood. They don't believe Genesis 11 and the Babel rebellion and how God dispersed the languages. Doesn't believe that God gave man language from the beginning, but that we had to develop language somehow. That's foolish. Foolish. So we have to believe it as God said it, understanding he knows exactly what happened and he said it exactly accurate. By the way, can God say it better? No, it said best. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, why didn't you say it a little better, more clear, more easy for us? And now we need a little conversation like God had with Job, maybe. Where were you when I did all of this? Because we are not smarter than God. And so, again, I want to elevate the scriptures to you this afternoon and say, this is the word of God. And I want to say, this is how he gave it. And it was, and it is very good. And it is without error. And so we need to take it as what he said. Now, again, finite human beings, I'm kind of dumb. I don't quite get it all sometimes. I don't know exactly how it works. But the Lord gave it to us not to confuse us. He gave it to us not for us just to say, oh, well, I guess we are not supposed to know this. But he gave it to us to know these things, what he said. And to do the things, I was talking with my wife yesterday. You know, like, why didn't God do it this way? And I was kind of coming to the conclusion, so that we would do what we're doing right now. So that I will be thinking through him and why he did this. You know, when you do that, you learn so much. You start looking at other scriptures and saying, well, look what he said here. And you learn so much about who he is. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, right? It's the glory of kings, or the honor of kings, I think it says, but it's the same word, to search it out. And that's what the Lord says. Seek him diligently. And he doesn't want to hide the word, perhaps, so that we can't know it, but he wants us to seek him and to know it. Okay, so none of that was in my notes, but it's important, and it's the foundation here. He says, then existed evening and morning, day fourth. So let's look at day fifth, and we'll be done. I say day fifth. Why do you say that? That's literally what it says. Day fifth. It uses the ordinal number. Fifth. There it is. God said, again, using that same pattern where God said, then God made. So he says, then God said. And if you're not back in Genesis, you'll need to turn there like me. Genesis chapter 1, looking at verse, I think it's 20. He says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So, the waters bring forth abundantly, and this is interesting too. The waters must produce abundantly. What? It uses that same word for produce abundantly. These living, abundantly produced thing of soul. Of soul. So they're living. They have a soul. It's living. It is abundantly produced. It has soul or breath of life, we might say. And he talks about the flying thing being flown upon the earth, upon the faces of the expanse of the heavens. So, he creates what we would say, it's not just the fish in the sea, but there's a lot of things. And have you ever looked at, that's another thing. Have you ever looked in the sea? I don't mean diving in there yourself, but you can go and you can take a look and go down to the great depths and you can see all sorts of creatures. They didn't just evolve. They're weird. They're ugly, we might say. But no, you go down there and you say, God made those things. Wow. And what does it say? And they're translucent. And they have all sorts of lights on them. And they're way down deep in the ocean. He says here, the birds here, the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. The open firmament of heaven. So they're flying in the firmament, that expanse. And then he says this, upon the earth, upon the faces of the expanse of heaven, literally. And he says this, then God made. So first God said, then God made. And what did he make? He says this, God created great whales. That's interesting. Whales. Is that what it's talking about? Whales? This word is interesting. This word is most often translated dragon. Dragon is translated whale. It's translated serpent, I think three times serpent, talking about Aaron's rod being a serpent. But it's the same word. It's also translated once sea monster. Now, and when you look at these connections of this word, it is some kind of dragon-type creature that lives in the sea, okay? And like Leviathan, perhaps, was one of these animals, these taninim. Perhaps Leviathan. And so he made this. This seems to be one of the chief creatures that he has made. He even talks about it in Job, I believe, and in other places. And it's interesting how that word is used of Aaron's rod. It's not the regular word for snake, like Nahash, but it's this word for like a dragon. He drops his stick and it becomes one of these creatures. Interesting. Very interesting. The entirety of the soul of the living one, the creeping one, which the waters produce abundantly to the kinds of them, and the entirety of flying thing of wing to the kinds of them. So everything after their kind, after their kind. Then God said, or then God provided. Why? Because good. It existed good. And then notice this. Notice this in the end of this here, where he says that God blessed them. Verse 22, then and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So here he says this, God blessed them. And this is the blessing. The blessing is what he said. What he said was the blessing. The blessing was that they be, he commands them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas. And the flying things, the birds, must multiply in the earth. That's their blessing. That's the blessing of God, to be able to fulfill the design of God in your life that he created you for. He's going to say the same thing to man. Not the exact same thing, but he's going to bless them and say, and he's going to tell them what to do. That's the blessing of God, to live in the design of God that he created you for. And when you do that, you're experiencing the blessing of God. Well, the day, he says, then evening existed, then morning existed, day fifth. It was the fifth day. So there you go. We've gotten through 5 days. Lord, if the Lord is willing, plan to go through day six next time. There's so much when you go through these things. You might have questions or thoughts, and that's good. We need to think about this a little bit. I still think about the Mayim up above. You know, there's a lot of things. What is the Mayim? What is the Mayim? That's up above those things, which is interesting. Hey, it talks about Satan being the prince of the power of the air. You think about Star Wars, right? Going to different planets, people going over to different planets and attacking each other and stuff. It's interesting. Well, we know that people aren't doing that, but perhaps angels and demons. It talks about in Revelation how Satan's going to be cast to earth. You know, there's so many things. The morning stars sang together. The sons of God shouted for joy. There's some things we need to study and look out here. But I hope you see the importance of studying these foundations, of taking a look at them, and thinking of them as he gave them to us, and contemplate the other scriptures and correlate all these things. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray for each individual here that we would not... we would not take lightly your expression, and we would not reject it, but we would humbly accept it. You'd help us to meditate on these things, to give ourselves to them, that we might know you as you exist. And we thank you, Lord. Please bless us. Help us to walk in your design. Protect us. Give us strength, the rest we need. Prepare us for the week, that you might get much glory. In Christ's name, I ask these things. Amen.